Yeah. Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T crew.
Whoa.
S-R-T. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to S-R-T today. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with S-R-T. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They went strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for S-R-T Radio.
Yeah.
What up? It's Sports Roundtable live from the SRT Studios overlooking Atlantic Station on a rainy, I couldn't get my stogie in, Wednesday evening. Thanks for tuning in. Sports Roundtable each and every Wednesday, 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the SRT crew is in the building. I am your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. And, of course, I got my main man, Hancock, sports superhero.
What up?
And D-Will, the coach. Hope he ain't still mad about
gives me something to talk about.
Say Nick happy because of that anyway.
Yeah, we're getting rid of that rat poison.
But what he is mad about is Colin Sexton. I'm pretty sure we'll talk about that. You know, Mr. Tate hit me this morning.
Yeah.
And we talked about that. And, of course, my main man, G-Money behind the glass.
Yo.
Doing his thing. Uh-oh. Hancock touching buttons over here.
We good now.
We good now.
Yo, everybody can't hear no more, but we good. What's up out there, baby?
Hey, you put that thing together over there.
Yeah, we got it working now.
Got those skills.
Hey, if you want to be a part of the show, please give us a call, 404-603-8770. And, of course, follow us on social media at SRT Radio. And, of course, follow the station. Ha! This news. Follow the station at WWWE 1100 AM. So make sure you follow the station on all social media platforms and want to listen to the show. Unfortunately, on the dial, if you're in your radio, may not get us.
Uh-oh.
But you can always go to iHeartRadio, search WWWE 1100 AM. Follow us on iHeart. You can listen live there. You can go to srtradio.com and listen to our show live. We got a lot to talk about. Lonzo Ball, LeVar Ball, Lonzo. Well, he's still in the news. We got a lot to talk about. So Lonzo, LeVar, the whole Ball family is in the news.
As usual.
Except the younger one.
Oh, give him time.
Give him time.
Like I told you. He going to show you how to be a top draft pick. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm telling you. He going to say, Lonzo, you know how to do this.
You know how to do this.
Yeah. I'm going to show you how to do this.
Too reserved.
My goodness. So we got some hot news coming up. Then we got our power, the SRT's college football power 10. And then the Falcon Report. Make sure you tune in for that. We got our main man calling in. Falcon Hauler at DW calling in with the Falcon Report. And then we got Ballers and Busters. And my main man, Rain Man, calling in with his picks.
You sure you going to call this week?
So check that out around 8 o'clock. And then our roundtable discussion today will be college football, man. We just go dive right into it. We got Wisconsin to talk about, Notre Dame, the SEC, and we got some conferences that could be shut out. And I would just say this. Somebody loving on Oklahoma, as G would say. Somebody loving on Oklahoma.
They're the only ones allowed, I'm telling you.
I mean, you wouldn't have thought Baker Mayfield was,
hey, Baker be balling.
I can't even hate. Dude gonna get a look at the next level, man.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
He reminds you of another quarterback gunslinger that played in that style from a couple years ago.
Yeah,
that didn't pan out.
I can't really knock that.
But Baker's gonna get a shot.
I think so.
If he got a shot, he's gonna get a shot.
Well, we go talk about all that and more, and all of those things here on the SRT. So G Money, and we're gonna talk about Ric Flair too. So G Money,
woo, woo.
Let's go ahead and jump into the hot news.
Red hot. This is why I'm hot. It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Yeah, the hot news. Sports Roundtable Hot News. Sponsored by the Big Easy Grill. Actually, I just left there. The Big Easy Grill.
You bring nothing with you?
Yeah, what a crab claw.
Empty hand.
I brought them just in here.
Oh, I can't do nothing with them.
I can't do nothing with that.
The Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. Please go to the Big Easy Grill. The best shrimp in town, and I can verify that. And V will say they got the best crab claws, too, so I'm pretty sure you can verify that.
Preach.
BigEasyGrill.com. First question, Hancock.
Yes, sir.
We've been talking about the Greek Freak in Milwaukee and things that they may need. Over the couple of days, we've heard rumors of Bledsoe coming back to the Suns facility finally to get the news that he will be traded to the Milwaukee Bucks for Greg Monroe and a draft pick. Your thoughts on the trade?
Well, on this trade initially, I wasn't real high on it, to be honest with you. But the more I watched the game last night, I think it's going to be a good fit, to be honest with you. Because I think it's going to move Malcolm Brogdon to the second unit, which they need some scoring on the second unit, more ball handle, a playmaker. What it'll do now is, with the two kind of dynamic scores on the first unit, Middleton will be freed up to shoot open shots. Now, he's not a knockdown shooter like I thought they really needed. Don't get me wrong. I still think they need that knockdown when he puts it up.
He
threatens that defense more. But I think Middleton will thrive in this now because he's going to get more open looks. And I can never remember 21's name. What's the kid's name?
Snell.
Snell is also shooting it pretty well this year also. So I think that's going to free them up to get more open looks, which will spread the court.
Yeah.
One dribble, as we saw from the three-point line, and the Freak can get to the hole.
He's at the rim.
And I know you said last night he needs more of a shot. And I do agree. But I think bringing in another score is going to help him more. Look, he's shooting a great percentage. He was 16 for out of 21.
Shoot 70%.
And got fought. See, it's different because, his scoring is dynamic because once he gets around the free throw line and in, you can't really stop him.
No.
So I think the addition of Bledsoe, I think it's going to work out. I like it.
Okay.
I do like it. And one other thing. Remember, your boy from Duke will probably be back at some point this year.
Mm-hmm. Right before or right after the All-Star break.
Help me with his name.
Jabari Parker.
See, that's something that people not even talking about. Mm-hmm. If he can come back and just contribute enough.
Oh, he will.
That's what I'm saying. If he comes back, look, man, Milwaukee might have something there.
And that's along the line of close to the trade deadline. So it's almost like Milwaukee picking up a decent player.
Exactly. So, hey, watch out, man. The Bucks.
Yeah. Question number two. D. Will.
Yes, sir.
Look like once Sylvania and the Eagles are rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite to win the NFC. Or are they just playing well?
First of all, I want to give a shout out to my friend, Miss Doris Hancock.
Okay.
And her little granddaughter, Miss
Kinfolk.
Annalise. Yeah, they're kinfolk.
What up, kinfolks?
And her little granddaughter, Annalise. We got a way better. Everybody say hey.
What up, Annalise?
Hey, that's how we do it. But yeah, both. And I'm going to tell you why. Carson Wentz is playing undoubtedly at an MVP level. 2,262 yards, 23 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions. Good numbers midway through the season, all right? The offense is clicking, and with them bringing in Jay Ajayi and already having that run game established, it's even opened it up even more for Carson Wentz to do things. And you saw on Sunday, they played very well with Jay Ajayi breaking a very long run.
And they lost Darren Sproles.
They did. He's not even there. And that's
and the tackle, Peters. That's
exactly. And that's the biggest thing. And that may come back to haunt them. We're going to see as the season progresses. But that offense is not what fears me. I believe that offense is good enough to compete. What I'm concerned with is the defense. All right? The defense is ranked 23rd in the NFL. All right? They're giving up 250 pass yards a game. That's about average for the NFL. But my problem is 100 yards on the ground. You're not going to win playoff football games if you're giving up more than 100 yards on the ground per game. If you can't stop what they say, you got to be able to run the ball, which they can do, but you also got to be able to stop the run.
Right.
If you can't stop the run late in January when it's cold outside, you're going to have a hard time winning football games. So I'm going to say it's both things. They are a threat, but if they don't get that straightened out, they're just going to be playing good.
Okay. All right, G, question number three. This is your homeboy. Jameis Winston was caught on camera. Look like he, I guess, finished Sunday dinner or something. But it was supposed to motivate his team, and they went out there and they didn't play well. And I can say the same thing each and every week, basically about Jameis. Your thoughts on what's going on with him, period.
Well, I think he's I talked about this on my not about Jameis specifically, but on my podcast the other night, to where like the actor Sean Penn, I feel like he tries too hard, like he's trying to win an Oscar with every single line in a movie.
Right.
And I think with Jameis Winston, he's trying to get a big play every single time he goes back to throw the ball. So I think he's trying to do too much, and if it's not going well, then he tries to go even harder than that instead of, you know, taking a step back and assessing. I just think he's out there trying to do too much, trying to make a big play every single time. And on the motivation side, he's going too hard on that too. Definitely. Like, I thought he was, I didn't, when I first saw it, it's like, is he like, licking chicken bones or something, and he turned into a W. Like, oh, come on, man!
It's a W. Let's
trying
eat
to
those.
Eat a W. Oh, come on! Like, yeah. I think like it's accepted he's a leader on that team, but he's like Ray Lewis status right now, and just going too hard and doing too much,
yes.
Trying to get his team motivated.
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to be a great motivational speaker when his playing days are over, and it seems like sooner rather than later.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well, what to add on the football side, though, is I think it's a bad fit coaching-wise. Dirt Cutter, he used to work in Atlanta, right? He used to work for the Falcons,
yep,
I think.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. But I think like the organization saw one good year with Jameis Winston. Is like, okay, we need to keep him. And we're going to fire Lovie instead, and we're going to keep him based off of 1 year. But there's a reason why Dirt Cutter may have been fired from the Falcons or wherever else he may have been.
Yep.
It's just gotten stagnant, and it's hurting Jameis Winston.
I agree.
Jameis is becoming he looking like a buffoon, man, like a comedy show instead of an NFL quarterback. And I'm really worried about that. You can see. That's not going to play well with other parts of their team. Did you see DeSean Jackson in the background on that video?
Oh, absolutely.
He's like, man, what are you doing, man?
Exactly.
I mean, it's that was ridiculous. Man.
Somebody should have been
that was bad.
Praying for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that was bad.
All right, question number four. D. Will Hancock, please let me know how you feel about this. LaVar Ball said that his son, that is shooting 29% in the fourth quarter, and he's 0 for whatever in the fourth quarter from three, needs to play more in the fourth quarter, and he leads the team in minutes.
I'm a LaVar Ball fan. First, let's get that out of the way. I think he's done well to get his kids to the position they're in, excluding what happened in Japan. Whatever that happens, it is what it is.
You moved them all the way to Japan.
Yeah, it's China.
China. Yeah, China, my bad. Somewhere over there.
Yeah.
I was not being racist. I mean, I just got the countries wrong.
Right.
Look, sometimes you have to just be quiet, though. I mean, even though there are questions being asked of you, sometimes the right answer is no answer.
Like he made today going to see his son in China.
Yeah, sometimes it's just you pour gasoline on a fire by answering the question when you should just kind of sidestep it. And I think those kind of questions, even though to him they seem like minor, what they do is escalate, because they tend to look like, now you're stepping in. Is Lonzo saying this to you?
Right.
You see what I'm
saying? Yeah.
Are you getting this from Lonzo? So even if Lonzo isn't saying it, it can backfire. So I just think, you know, he's going to continue to be asked questions because people know they're going to get that sound bite. But he has to be smarter, you know, and just be able to be more. What's the word I'm looking for? Come on, G. What word am I looking for?
Yeah. He's just basically brand building. That's
show
why
some tact.
There it is. Yeah, just a little more tact with his answer. Just a little more tactful and constructive.
He's
about
not
going
to do that because, like I say, LeVar Ball's job is to build the brand.
That's right.
It's not his job to, you know, coach the team or even make sure his son plays well. He's done that already in bringing him up. His job is to build the brand of his kids. So what do we always hear? Any publicity is good publicity. It don't matter whether he's shooting 29% in the fourth quarter. He say he need to play more in the fourth quarter. You might say he might be right, because how is he ever going to become productive in those situations if you don't put him in the fire? So I understand. But here's my thing, Hancock. We went back and forth on this. If you can't shoot, you can't shoot.
Yeah, you
and if you can't shoot in the fourth quarter, you can't play. So that's the reason he's not on the court.
Yeah.
I understand where LeVar Ball is coming from. That's right. His child. He wants to see him on the court. He's trying to make him a big star and build that brand. But until he's able to shoot the ball better, he's going to be on the bench.
Look, they 500 right now.
They're good. They're a decent team.
They're playing well as far as, if, you know, you want to say it.
Right.
And don't rock the boat. I mean, like I said, he's going to get questions every day.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how he answers it, they're going to put it in a context as LeVar's making waves.
Exactly.
So,
but
like
that's
I
his
said,
job. He's going to always do that. I'm telling you.
I just think he got to be more strategic, man.
I agree. But did you see Lonzo's interview today prior to the Boston Celtics game and shoot-around?
No, I didn't see.
They asked him about his brother. He was like, I don't know. I know my people over there, they're taking care of it. And he came right back with a question and was like, how do you feel about it? He like, I'm just concentrating on the game.
And see, that's tact.
They followed it up with another question. He was like, my people are taking care of it over there. Once they get whatever information they can get, they'll get in contact with me and let me know what's going on.
See, he can take coaching. We see that now.
Yeah.
Because that's coaching. That's
somebody, media coaching.
That's PR people telling him how he should handle these questions,
exactly.
And he did well.
Maybe his dad need to take a coach class.
Nah, he building a brand, man. You don't take no class when you building a brand. You let it fly. Puff Daddy, Jay-Z, they ain't get there from talking about
the
song.
He's the world be free of daddies because he let it fly.
Yeah, because
it's a
situation that's going on over in China that probably his mouth done put a little pressure on some of this stuff. So, but we're going to talk about that in other news, and we'll find out more about Lonzo Ball as they take on the Boston Celtics tonight at 8 o'clock. And by that time, we get off, we'll know in the fourth quarter if he's playing or not. So we'll see. Question number five. In honor of our main man, Ric Flair, if you didn't see it today, please go to our Facebook page and check out the Ric Flair soundbite. It's on our social media page on IG, Twitter, and Facebook at srtradio.com.
Please don't forget the ahead. YouTube page.
And the YouTube page. SRT Sports Talk Radio. Make sure we do that, and we will put it up on the YouTube page. But in honor of our main man, Ric Flair, and the 30 for 30 that played last night, we are going to give you our top three wrestlers of all time. And I'm going to go down from 3 to 1. And my number three guy is JYD.
Junkyard Dog.
Yeah, Junkyard Dog actually reminded me of my uncle with the beard and all that other kind of stuff. So, always is reminded that maybe he's a family member.
I heard that.
But my number two is obviously the great lefty, Dusty Rhodes.
The Bull of the Woods,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
Bull of the Woods.
Dusty Rhodes is something else, man.
Funky like a monkey.
You already know. Dustin Rhodes is my number two, and coming in at number one, obviously the main man. You know, it is what it is. If you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best thing going today. Woo! Woo! Big flap, baby. Woo! That's my man at number one, and I got honorable mention.
Really dealing.
Michael Hayes and Tony Atlas.
I heard that.
So, okay. As you can tell, I was a wrestling fan back in the day.
Yeah, I hate you. My three, man, it's hard for me to pick my three. I just got three of my favorite wrestlers.
Keep it in the air now. Yeah. No,
obviously, we're going to talk about... Hey, obviously, we're going to put Nature in there.
Okay. Right.
The Nature Boy is just class that we can't even talk about. He is what it is. Hold them gators down. So we're going to put Nature in there. My next guy is The Rock.
Okay.
I got to go with Rock, man. Rock kind of brought a new era. You know, this he busted WWE to another level, to be honest with you. So I go with The Rock, because he had to smell what The Rock is cooking. Mm-hmm. And this guy might be a little bit past you guys. You know, y'all think, you know, this little old school. But it's Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh, man. I know Jerry.
Look, man, Jerry the King Lawler had Memphis on lock for years. I'm trying to tell you. You talk about the King of Memphis. That's what he went by back in the day on World Championship Wrestling. Okay. But look, my man was a beast, man. I go with Jerry the King. He's one of my favorites all time.
All right, G.
All right. I didn't have Ric Flair in my top three, only because I based my top three on who I'd actually seen.
Okay.
Growing up in Augusta, I didn't watch wrestling a lot on TV, but I got to see shows when WCW did their shows at what is now called the James Brown Arena in Augusta. So my top three, in no particular order, The Undertaker, got to see him live. That dude is a giant.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And it was just scary. I liked seeing him come out. Number two is The Rock. This was a show that I was at a show that wasn't televised, but when he came out, like just seeing how the crowd reacted to him was just, I had never seen anything like that before. And number one, because I had seen him like three different times, and I don't know, he's one of the best athletes I've seen be a wrestler, and that's Rey Mysterio Jr.
Okay. All right. Gee, say he going to see him live, and that's how he picked this trip. Didn't watch a lot of wrestling, but. All right, D-Will, the coach.
Hey,
give it to me.
I am the original 80s baby, meaning I was born in 1980. So I am a WWF fan. Ooh. When it went from WWF to WWE is when I hit puberty. And when I went from wrestling to girls. Okay, you got what I'm saying? So since then, I hadn't been a fan. But now, right now, if you ask me my three favorites, it's hard. I'm like hand. But I put three in order. Okay. I'm going to start from the bottom. Number three, Jake the Snake. Listen. He has the most popular move in wrestling history. If you say DDT, everybody knows who Jake the Snake is. You know who originated that move. Number two, and this was hard putting him in number two, the Ultimate Warrior. Listen, coming off that top rope, I used to jump off the bunk bed like I was. I used to tie the little armbands around, had my tassels hanging. I used to paint my face. Listen, Ultimate Warrior. And I cannot believe, even though he a racist, I still got to give him his props. But Hulk Hogan is my number one wrestler. Listen, tearing the shirt, I was a Hulkamaniac. That's what made the 80s. If you listen to all of those are 80s wrestlers. They were hiding the 80s. Hulkamaniacs. I don't care what nobody say. Everybody was a Hulkamaniac.
Everybody tore up t-shirts.
Listen, you know how much trouble I got into tearing, and I couldn't even rip them. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm just making them bacon neck. You understand? I'm just stretching the neck out. But yeah, man, my top three wrestlers, and I got to give y'all an honorable mention, and it's not a particular wrestler. It is actually a tag team.
Oh, yeah.
The Bushwhackers.
Oh, okay.
Oh!
I thought
he said I ain't gonna say the four horsemen.
We come out with the three horses.
I got to go with the Road Warriors.
Oh, yeah, the Road Warriors.
Honking Animal, baby.
Hey, like, that was good, too. But the Bushwhackers, yeah, we came out with the 2x4s.
They gonna think we doing the wrestling.
Hey, yeah, that's on the other station, on the FM station tonight. They got wrestling. Go listen to that.
Nature Boy, baby. Woo!
You already know.
Yeah, Nature Boy was not in my top three.
I don't know what's wrong with y'all. But it's all good. But that's going in our hot news. But now we're about to get into something else that's real hot, and that is our SRT College Football Power 10.
Whoop.
All college football polls matter? Not at the Sports Roundtable. It's time for the SRT Power 10.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the SRT Power 10. This week at number 10, we're going to do this a little different this week. At number 10, we have the Michigan State Spartans. At number 9, we had the Auburn Tigers. At number 8, we got the TCU Horned Frogs. At number 7, we had the Miami Hurricane. At number 6, we had Wisconsin Badgers. And at number 5, we had the Clemson Tigers. Our new top 4 going into this week, the Oklahoma Sooners came in at number 4 with 30 power points. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish came in at number 3. With 39 points. At number 2, our very own Georgia Bulldogs with 45 power points. And at number 1, the Alabama Crimson Tide, who have been number 1 in our poll throughout the year. Interesting notes from this week in our Power 10. Our panel is made up of 5 people. And out of our 5, all of us had the top 3 the exact same way. But at number 4, we all had different picks.
Wow. 5 different top 4.
Five different top 4 picks.
Wow.
And we can go out. I had Miami as my 4th team.
That's a good pick.
Horace, you had Oklahoma. Jay Smooth had Clemson. G Money had Wisconsin. D Will had Notre Dame. So we had all 4 of us disagreed on the final pick to go in. Uh-huh. So it made the points. There were percentage points between Oklahoma and Clemson,
right,
really, at that 4, but Oklahoma got the nod. Let's see. Notes this week. New to the top 4 were Oklahoma and Notre Dame. Out of our top 4 was Wisconsin and Ohio State. Out of the poll altogether, Penn State, Oklahoma State, and Ohio State all dropped out. Mm. And the biggest move this week was the Oklahoma Sooners from 8-4.
Baker Mayfield.
Big games this week in the Power 10. Our number 1, Bama goes to Starksville to take on, well, we call it Stark Vegas, to take on Mississippi State. UGA meets Auburn at Auburn. Notre Dame is going down to the bottom, headed down to Miami to take on the Hurricane. Should be a good game.
Yeah.
Oklahoma will host TCU, another big game.
Big game
that
too.
Might be an elimination game for the Big 12. And see, number 5, Clemson gets, well, they play Florida State. Number 6, Wisconsin takes on Iowa, which will be a good game.
Yeah.
Iowa with a big surprise win last week over Ohio State. Any of those games stand out to you, Big Doc?
Well, 2 of them. Actually, the Auburn game with Georgia and the Iowa and the Wisconsin game. The Wisconsin game, I really want to see if they beat a top 20 team now, how everyone would feel about it. And I just want to see if it's interesting. If Auburn wins, how far do they move up? And then they kind of control their own destiny. But if Georgia wins, it's like, finally, we can pretty much put a stamp on. You know, so those are some of the things that I'm looking forward to.
D-Way, I got a question for you. I know Bama's playing Mississippi State this week. You're coming into the game with a lot of injuries at Alabama.
Woo!
And
talk about it.
Are they feeling a little vulnerable? I mean, you got a quarterback now that does run and put pressure on you to run the ball. Is streaky pass? Well, I won't say streaky passer, but a good enough passer.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to say that passing game is all that. But being that you have an injury to one of the best corners in the game, Fitzpatrick, and then you lost another lineman. Didn't Hamilton go out this week?
Hamilton and his backup, Mac Wilson.
Right. So I'm just asking you, what are you thinking? How you feel going into this game this
week? I'm going to be honest. I'm skeptical about it's our linebacking core. We started off the first game of the season losing our two top linebackers in Christian Miller and also Jennings. Lost them first game of the season. So they're out. Now we've went and lost Sean Deion Hamilton, who is our starting middle linebacker and a senior who's been here, who's done everything, seen it all. We lose him, and not only that, we lose our second-year head knocker, number 30, Mr. Mac Wilson, who has three interceptions already on this season. We lose him to an ankle injury. He's out for the season. So that's your four top linebackers out. Now, we always hear everything around town. Nick Saban has five stars sitting everywhere. Mm-hmm. So we do have a five-star, and you saw him play a heck of a game this weekend, number 16, in Christian Mosley, who is actually the younger brother of C.J. Mosley.
Right.
So with him showing up, and you've seen him, number 42, the white kid's name is losing me right now, but he's playing well also, and he's been playing all season. But I'm going to tell you, I think we're going to see how those young five-stars can play, because going against Mississippi State, they have Nick Fitzgerald can run the football.
Right.
So it's going to be tested.
Okay. Well, G, I had a question for you. We're going to wrap it up, though. We're going to wrap up this edition of SIT Power 10. Tune in next week, see how it all shakes out.
There it is. Knuckleheads, we got to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. But when we get back, you already know we got the Falcoholic man calling in with the Falco Report. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Sports Roundtable, srtradio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
Mmm, turkey, apple cider, pumpkin pie, oh my! Fresh Market on Peachtree Road is excited to bring to you Taste of the Holiday. Prepare your bellies to sample all of your holiday favorites, such as turkey with gravy, sliced ham, stuffing, gourmet cookies, apple ciders, and much more. This feast takes place Saturday, November 11th and Sunday, November 12th from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. Come out and experience Taste of the Holiday at Fresh Market, located at 2099 Peachtree Road Northwest in Atlanta, Georgia. Come taste the holidays with us.
Okay, so where do more Americans turn first in the morning to start their day? Go on, tell them, Robin.
Good morning, America.
George.
Good morning, America.
Lara.
Good morning, America.
So, take it from Robin.
Put some good in your morning.
With ABC's Good Morning America.
Sports Roundtable. LeVar Ball says he will withdraw his son, Melo, and train him for the next 2 years. Homeschool him and train him.
I thought about this from a different angle. Like with the big baller brand, you know, you want to have more control over your merchandise. You know, let's start our own business.
Right.
So in this case, I believe he will be on the way to starting his own school. Big Baller Academy, stay in your lane, prep.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
Please welcome everyone's favorite Falcoholic, David D.W. Walker.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sports Roundtable back at you. You can reach this guy at Falcoholic D.W., and he is the host of the most popular podcast out there, the Falcoholic Podcast. Our main man, D.W., how's it going, D.W.?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Hey, we low on energy this week, man. I think we kind of, you know, the rise up sounds more like rise up.
Drink up.
Exactly.
More like it.
But I do have some questions for you. I'm pretty sure, and you know, I would encourage people to follow you on Twitter, and this is being serious. And I got my two co-hosts here that can verify this. At Falcoholic DW, if you want some comedy throughout the week, go to your Twitter page, and boy, I tell you, it is how many? Don't at me. I mean, all Sunday, all Monday. It is crazy. But let's start with Sunday. DW, what happened Sunday?
What's been happening almost all season, a tale of two halves. The Falcons are a remarkably good first half team, and they are one of the worst teams in the second half. They are consistently getting outscored by large margins in the third and fourth quarter, and we saw it again. There's just mental lapses. The defense tends to give up tons of time of possession in the second half. It's just a tale of two teams, honestly.
All right, so me and you kind of agree on this because, I mean, I think I tweeted something out and you did as well as the Falcons scored in the no huddle. So I'm wondering, does Matt Ryan actually have any control of the offense at all?
I think he has some, and we saw a little bit more of it on Sunday where he was making changes at the line of scrimmage. I think they're trying to give him a little bit more. But I don't think he has complete autonomy, no. And for my taste, I don't think he has enough. I think we saw the kind of success that they are able to have when he is given control.
Right.
One of their long touchdown drives, a 90-yard touchdown drive, was completely orchestrated out of the no huddle.
Exactly.
So we've had success with it. He's been successful with it for 9 years now, and I don't know why we keep moving away from it.
I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Facts is facts. We can see it. I mean, all of us can see it.
Stevie Wonder can see it.
Exactly. So, I'm just wondering. Dan Quinn had his press conference. He pointed out this week that he has three concerns: third down conversion on both sides of the ball, getting the third down conversion on offense, and getting off the field on defense, and also the turnover differential. Your thoughts on him actually making them three things available in a press conference, and how do you see him fixing, or the approach for him fixing, these three things?
Well, first, I think they're valid points. I'm not going to dispute that those are issues that have been plaging the team for the majority of the season. We look at the second half against the Panthers in the third quarter. The two offensive drives the Falcons had were three and outs. They weren't converting on third downs for whatever reason. And then, of course, obviously, the defense continued to give up long scoring drives in the third quarter and in parts of the fourth quarter. So there's definitely some truth to that. The thing that I think he can't say, you won't hear Coach Quinn say, that I do think is a big concern, is still the play calling. But you're not going to hear Coach Quinn get up there on a Monday morning and say, I'm really concerned about the play calling from Steve Sarkisian. It's not going to happen. Internally, they may say it, but we're not going to hear it from a media standpoint. But to me, it is still one of the big concerns. There's sort of an insistence by our offensive coordinator to use guys in ways that don't feature their skills the best. And that's, to me, one of the biggest frustrations of watching this offense right now.
Well, if he won't say it, I will say it for him. I have a stat that says that the Falcons ran nine plays that were 2 yards or less. And out of the nine plays, they only gained 1 yard.
Right.
That stat in itself says to me that there are some play calling issues. You run Tevin Coleman, who is not a in-between tackle runner, on a third down and one. He's an outside runner. You ran him inside, and he just keeps losing yards. But, I digress with that. We all know that it is something that we really need to work on as far as the play calling. But my next question is, along with the play calling, this is something that I'm hearing. We don't start rumors. We just talk about them once they come out. I'm hearing the name Gary Kubiak come up.
Yes.
And the rumor is that he's ready to come back to coaching. I just want to get your thoughts. I'm not saying anything, but your thoughts on anything that you've heard as well.
Well, I haven't heard any direct links to the Falcons, so any fans hoping for that move, you may want to cool your jets a little bit. But I can understand it. And Kubiak has said that he's open to returning as an offensive coordinator, which is what really got people interested. He's really not looking for a head coaching position at this point. I think he just wants to get back to the game, call some plays, get back in as a coordinator again. And the reason it makes sense for Falcons is he runs very similar style offense to what Shanahan did. They come from the same coaching tree. So there would be maybe arguably an even smoother transition for Kubiak being able to come in and run this offense efficiently that we saw from 2016. That said, I don't think they're going to replace Sark midseason if anything was done whatsoever, and I don't think it will happen, but if anything was done, he would be brought in as a quote-unquote consultant. Where he would help Sark during the week or help him in the in the play booth, but that would be about it.
Well, I mean that's a good start.
I don't know, D-Dell. Yeah. It might be about like quarterback. If you got two, that means you don't have one. So if you got two offensive coordinators, maybe you don't have one. So, anyway, my question is, man, I've been waiting all year to see them use Devontae Freeman more. Whether that's out of the backfield, on swing passes more, whether that's screen passes, whether that's just handing him the ball at least 10, 12 times, more in the game. I think he needs to touch the ball about 25 times a game, in some capacity. And are they afraid that he would have worn down late in the year because of his stature or something? Or what is it that I'm not seeing? I just don't understand why he's not getting the football more.
I definitely think he needs to get the ball more. He is our best runner by far. He is, one of the top running backs in the league again. And when he does run, he has continued success. He's averaging well over 4 yards per carry. I think part of the problem, number one, is, again, it's play calling. And we've seen it where we bring in Tevin Coleman and we're running him between the tackles and we're not getting yards. And we end up in second long, third and long. And those drives fail miserably. And it takes away opportunities for Devontae to be on the field and to get those opportunities. And I think that's true across the board. We're seeing, this offense is not getting nearly as many snaps through this point in the season as they did last year because they can't sustain drives. So I would also argue that Tevin Coleman needs to get more snaps as a receiver where he's extremely dangerous. And we're just not seeing that as well. So to me, I absolutely agree. We've got to get Devontae more touches. But I think that will happen naturally if they can actually make this offense sustain drives for longer than three plays and out.
Right. And one other thing, when I watch the Falcon defense, it seems that teams just don't have to really game plan us like, there's not that dog on the other side of the ball that teams fear. Is there any thought process of maybe in the year, next year or whatever, maybe moving toward getting a big-time defensive player to someone? I mean, you don't have to get a Lawrence Taylor, but you got to get somebody that teams have to worry about. I mean, when we look at the Falcons defense, and they've improved over the years since Quinn has been there. But, when we look at the edge rusher, it's still not that person that the other team fears. So it kind of... You really don't have to come out and say, okay, our offense has to every week worry about this guy. What can the Falcons do to make teams more aware of, or make them kind of shaking their boots a little bit?
So I think we do have some guys that are capable of that. Keanu Neal was an absolute beast this past Sunday, forcing two fumbles, and he had an amazing game. I think Tack McKinley will develop into a fearsome pass rusher as he begins to learn more about the game and he gets more snaps. We're already seeing him produce pressure on a consistent basis. He's just not quite getting to the quarterback every single time, but I think he's going to come around. Honestly, I think the solution is you've got to be able to stop the run, and that is one problem the Falcons have right now is if teams can run on you consistently, it takes away your ability to rush the passer because they'll just run on you, and that's what we saw the Panthers do. They did it with Jonathan Stewart. They did it with McCaffrey, and, of course, with the design plays for Cam Newton. If you can't stop the run, you'll never be in the position to actually use your pass rush and affect the quarterback. So until they can consistently shut down that aspect for the opposing offense, it won't matter who we have rushing the passer because they're always going to be in a favorable position anyways.
Okay. Hi, ADW, this is G. I want to have fun with this question a little bit. So on that, on Julio's drop, yeah, I felt for him a little bit there. Have you heard any conspiracy theories about why he dropped that pass?
we're tanking for a top five pick, right? I've not heard any good ones, I believe, for what it's worth, but you know, maybe someone in the Carolina stands shined a bright light in his eyes right before that ball came in. I'm going to go with that.
And the second part of his question is, I guess the reports that, like, well, you saw that Kurt Coleman, like, kind of consoled Julio a little bit. Say you weren't part of the Falcons. Say you were on the other team and you saw their best receiver drop a pass like that. Would you have said anything to him? Like, whether good or bad, would you say something to somebody who just did that, to where that just happened?
Well, Julio's 6'3" and weighs at least, you know, 230 and has 2% body fat. I'm not saying a damn thing to him. He would tear me apart. I'm staying hundreds of feet away.
He gonna go AJ Green on you.
Yeah. Now he gonna go Ric Flair on you. Really.
Exactly.
But we on live with DW the Falcoholic. DW, this coach, man, and I was following you on Twitter during the whole game this Sunday, and I'm gonna ask you, in your opinion, in your professional opinion, what do the Falcons have to do to turn this season around?
Ooh, wow. You know what? I don't think they're as far away as people think. They are in the first half. They're, you know, like I said, it's a tale of two teams. In the first half, they're able to do things, move the ball, put up some points, stop some drives on defense. They've got to figure out what's working in the first half that they're not doing in the second half and replicate that. I think on offense, we saw it on Sunday. The most successful drive they had in the second half was with Matt Ryan running the no huddle. Now, I'm not suggesting that they run the no huddle nonstop all game, but surely you can use it more than what you've been doing. I think that's one solution. And I think if the offense can begin putting up more points, it's going to help the defense. Giving that defense a lead to play with takes away the run from the other team, which is our biggest weakness right now, and gives them the ability to pin their ears back and go after the passer. So right now I think the biggest solution has to be in the offense, and I think, you know, the best offensive coordinator the Falcons have right now, in my opinion, is Matt Ryan.
Mm. Wow, that's deep. Finishing up here with DW of the Falcoholic. You can follow him on Twitter at FalcoholicDW, and he is the host of the Falcoholic Podcast as well. You can catch that on iTunes and all of the podcast directories that you may have. This is next to the last question, and I just want to have your professional opinion about this one. If the Falcons do not make the playoffs, law forbid that doesn't happen, what moves do you see, or changes do you see coming if that happens?
Well, I don't think Dan Quinn's in any danger whatsoever. So we'll put that one to rest. I've seen some people suggest that. That's not going to happen. He literally just took us to a Super Bowl. You know, bad seasons happen for whatever reasons. Now, he'll have to answer a lot of questions, rightfully so, but I think he's safe.
Right.
As for Steve Sarkisian, if the offense continues to look like this, where they're incapable of scoring in the second half, and we see continued misusage of the players, I do think there's a possibility that they'll move on from him after the season. It will not happen during the season. I'm going to go ahead and put money down on that.
Okay.
Unless Sarkisian goes out and shoots a child in the middle of public, he is completely safe on the Falcons staff.
Okay.
But this offseason, if they miss the playoffs, and the offense is a big reason for that, I wouldn't be shocked to see him go. And I think that's going to be about the extent of it. I don't think you're going to see after 1 year, even if it's really bad, I don't think you're going to see an upheaval with this coaching staff.
Okay. What we got for Sunday? Your predictions for Sunday, and what do the Falcons need to do?
Oof. Well, they need to puncture the tires of the Dallas Cowboys bus before it gets into town.
Whoa. I agree with that.
No, in all seriousness, I mean, this is a good, you know, this is a good Cowboys offense, but this defense has some flaws in it. They've got some decent players on the front, but there are enough weaknesses for the Falcons to expose as long as they can do it consistently. I actually think this is a game that the Falcons can win. This Dallas defense is not as good as the Carolina one we just faced. And if the Falcons don't have to face Ezekiel Elliott, and we'll know more about that in the next day or two, that obviously can be a huge factor here. So I'm going to go with a slight upset. This may be the last time I pick the Falcons to win this year. But I'm going to say the Falcons win this one 27-24.
Okay, there it is.
We rolling with that, DW. We rolling with it.
My main man, DW, thanks again, man. You can follow him on Twitter at Falconholic DW. And DW, you can go ahead and give him your podcast information, because I don't know if I got all of that right, but you can go ahead and try that for me.
Yeah, you can find the Falconholic podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and SoundCloud.
There you go. Hey, D-Dub, thanks again, man. And rise up and drink responsibly.
Unless you're watching the Falcons.
Exactly. Thanks again.
All right, D-Dub.
Thanks, guys.
All right. There it is, D-Dub, Falconholic. Right now, I will get to your questions in just a second. But we got to get to one of our favorite segments, Ballers and Busters.
Other radio shows may have their players of the week, but at the Sports Roundtable, we have our ballers.
Ballin'.
And our busters.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
Ballers and Busters. Sponsored by Real Talk Tees.
Hey.
Got a shirt for every mood. You can go ahead and cop you a shirt.
Yep.
On realtalktees.bigcartel.com.
Yes, sir.
All right, Ballers and Busters time. It's time to really get on down to it. And my baller this week goes out to my main man, Deion Sanders, for the clapback that he gave to Tony Romo and saying, I have a gold jacket that I didn't have to buy.
Ooh.
Dak said, hi, and bye.
Shots.
Woo! Boy, you talking about a clap back.
Oh, ooh, man.
Oh, oh. Yeah, that was Deion. He went in. That was going in. Yeah.
He hurt Tony's pride. Yeah, I know Tony's sitting at the house like, oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my. What did I do?
That was hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, my baller goes to the Iowa Hawkeyes. They ordered a 50 piece this week.
And extra crispy.
Ohio State delivered it.
Shout out to Shondell, my homeboy Dale Venardo. That was for you.
They got that 50 piece. And, boy.
Yeah.
Everybody good.
Yeah, so boy. That was.
That's my baller. I was Hawkeyes, baby.
All right, G. Who you got for your baller?
All right, my baller of the week goes to Coach Bill Clark and the UAB Blazers.
Hey! Yeah.
Told you we should roll them out for them.
Yeah.
So they are now bowl eligible, and the previous 2 years, they did not have a team.
Yes.
So they come back this year. They're playing a bowl somewhere, and I think they still have a chance to win their conference too. Yeah, so yeah. Big ups to Baller of the Week for me, the UAB Blazers. UAB.
Shout out Nick Stewart, Curtis G, the Punky. All them boys playing the UAB. Big Wilbur Hamilton. All them boys playing the UAB. I know they feel good right now.
Woo, this like sound like this should have been your baller too.
Nah. I got two good ones.
All right,
you heard me say two. My two ballers got to go with my bone boy, Baker Mayfield. You know what I'm saying? 24-36, 598 yards. 500, listen to me say that. 598 yards passing in one game.
Yeah, I could have threw for 100.
You could have threw. True. True.
They'll play a no defense.
That wasn't defense.
Oh, my.
That was two-hand touch outside.
That's ridiculous.
But yeah, he five touchdowns. He did throw two picks, but 66.7% completion rate. He was out there balling.
Every time somebody throw for over 500 yards, the defensive coordinator should get a dock in his pay.
Yeah.
Just give his game check to the offensive coordinator.
Boom. Boom. Boom.
Exactly. Hey. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, both their defense coordinators.
Split it.
Yep. Exactly.
But I'm going to also go with honorable mention baller, because we can't leave them out, because they get no love in the college football playoff. They get no love in the SRT Power 10, and that is Jonathan Taylor of the Wisconsin Badgers. 29 carries, 183 yards, 6.3 average. He balled out. Give him his props. He had a big long run to open that game up that just changed the dynamic of the game and had Wisconsin all taken off from there.
Oh, yeah. Put some water on it. It's Indiana.
Yeah, I got you, but give him some props. See, we're not on the ballers.
I shaded him.
Yeah, you shaded him. You shaded him.
But I like him. I think he got a baller from me earlier in the year.
Is his second one on SRT.
Got a baller from Facebook. Marty Terry says Miami Hurricane defense looking good.
Okay. Anybody got a ball on Facebook?
Well, here, Roger, you can stop throwing it to the other team. They won't have to play so much.
Exactly. Hey. All right, well, here's my buster for the week. Lane Kiffin. Mm. Did y'all see the ridiculous, I'm not going to cover the spread, play that he just ran? 14 seconds left on the clock. And he runs out of bounds to not cover the spread. They was up 7. The spread is 6. He goes out of bounds. Now the game is 5. Oh, my God. Lane Kiffin this week. I don't care nothing about that train that they got for you, but you're a buster this week.
Hey, you must have lost some fruit cups tonight. He is.
Sounds like,
hey, everybody lost.
Hey, listen, he is very personal on his ball and buster this week.
Yeah, that would look like he hit the pocket. My buster goes to a guy we talked about already earlier tonight. J-Bo. Jameis Winston gets my buster of the week, man, for his speech to his team before the game. He probably cost them 10 points. Because everybody probably was like, this is my quarterback, man. This is my quarterback. He's sitting here licking his fingers
in front of a bunch of grown men
before the game. I know he already took some snaps in pregame from his center. So, and he licking his fingers talking about eat a duck.
Eat a duck.
Sound like a sound bite.
I know they told him, somebody probably said he's some eager.
Hey, listen.
But come on, Jameis.
That's what I was just going to say, innuendo.
Come on, Jameis.
Yeah,
so,
that's bad.
Jameis, you get my buster, man. That's bad.
Buster.
IG.
Yeah, they ate an L instead. So my buster of the week, it seems like it could be our buster of the week any week, is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't even know what I'm looking at like out there, but I feel like any team, the opposing whoever gets outplayed by Blake Bortles is automatically a buster of the week.
Oh, wow.
So I guess this goes out to Andy Dalton.
Yeah, right.
This is one of those, as I previously mentioned, an Allen Iverson Award. Just have a stat line that led your team to a loss. Only
hey,
10.
You can't do AI like that on here.
I'm talking about like bad AI, like 9 for 36 AI.
We don't remember those games.
But only 10 of 18, 136 yards.
Yeah.
No touchdowns, no interceptions, and he continues to look terrible without AJ Green. And he had to play basically a half a game without him, but it was just awful.
How does Marvin Lewis keep his job?
Hey, man, he keep rolling.
That's ridiculous, man.
Simple.
He rolling.
Simple. All right, D.
My buster this week is the Denver Broncos running back crew. All three of them.
Oh, my God.
Devontae Booker, 6 carries, 21 yards. C.J. Anderson, 9 carries, 13 yards. Jamal Charles, 4 carries, 1 big old yard. They went a combined 19 carries for 35 yards. That is an average of 1.84 yards per carry. Now, you already got Brick Osweiler as your quarterback.
That's why they couldn't run it.
Well, here's the other thing. Brick Osweiler went 19 for 38, 208, but he had one touchdown, but he threw 2 interceptions. Okay, so my point is, with that defense, and they're not playing up to their standards right now, and it's hard to play up to your standards when your offense is this bad. Okay, the entire crew for the Denver Broncos running back, Jamal Charles, I understand injuries have gotten him, but he need to hang him up. I'm just going to keep it real. Father time or father injury, whatever's in him, he need to hang it up. It's over with. You'll see a burst every now and then, but 4 carries for 1 big old yard? Please, you got to sit down somewhere. But so my buster this week is the Denver Broncos whole running back crew as a – what Tupac say? As a crew, I can't even say it because I want to cuss. Nah, I want to cuss.
And a crew.
So, daddy.
All right, man, that'll do it for your Ballers and Busters. Sponsored by Real Talk Tees. You get a shirt for every mood. RealTalkTees.BigCartel.com. And when we come back for the second half of the show, our main man, Rain Man, is on the phone line. We will give you his, he will give you his picks.
These ain't our picks.
He didn't do good last week. But we'll holler at you when we get back. You listen to Sports Roundtable at SRTRadio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You're tuned into WWE Lakeville, AM 1100.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker. And mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com. Well, what's real lasts forever.
Sports Roundtable.
I had real consideration putting Clemson number one in my poll this week.
Wow.
I had real consideration.
And you can't even go home.
Yeah. Hey, it was real.
It's a first aid kit.
I know
around
that.
Around the corner.
Yeah. Remember the kid?
Defibrillator.
Hey,
defibrillator.
You remember the kid I was talking about testing Sammy with? We need to test D with.
You know I'm a fail. You know it.
On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
Uh-oh, Breezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T. Crew.
Whoa.
SRT. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Uh-huh. Damn you lame. If you ain't tuned to SRT today. Boom. HO got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money.
G-Money.
Made with a strong, I never lose. 6-man elite. beat. That's Jay Smooth.
Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sports Roundtable back at the second hour of the show. Thanks for tuning in. First hour of the show, we had fun. We got into it, some hot news and all that. And if you want to join the show, Facebook Live, let me give y'all the number, 404-603-8770. Give us a call, ask us anything you want to ask, because we're doing it big like that. And speaking of doing it big, our main man, Rain Man, is on the phone, and now it's time to get these Rain Man picks of the week.
Are you ready for some football? Are you ready to win some fruit cups?
Those who are tardy do not get fruit cups.
We'll get ready because it's time for the Rain Man's picks of the week.
Our main man is on the phone. Rain Man, ready for his picks this week. Sponsored by ATL Slick Money.
We need to get Slick a sponsor, man. We got to get you a sponsor, Slick.
Exactly. We got to get you something. How about Cash3.com?
Sponsored by nobody.
Nobody.
Rain Man, you with us? What's happening?
Slick Money. We here? Slick Money.
G got to push the button on the board. I'm learning. Look.
All right, there we go. Rain Man, you here?
Nope. Not yet.
Hey, I'm going to tell you why he not here. Because I'm going to put him on blast. He went 0-6 last week. And everybody in here talking about, oh, he went 1-5. He pushed. No. When you push, you lose your fruit cups. So if you bet with Slick Money last week, you hurt.
Slick Money, did you hear that?
Yeah, tell D. Will, I don't lose every week, man.
You're a handicapper, so I ain't hate.
What up, Slick Money?
What's up, Rain Man?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Hey, nothing much, man. We were talking about, man, we need to get you a sponsor, you know, to do this segment. I was saying Cash3.com or ATL Slick Money or what?
Mega Millions went up to $2?
Exactly.
Yeah. How about Alabama sponsor me?
I don't know what Nick gonna think about that.
Hey, they losing too many players.
And we already on the investigation. We on the investigation.
It doesn't matter. They still good.
All right, cool. All right, so you got to have a bounce back week this week. Like last week, I'm looking at the seed. It didn't look good and doesn't look good, but I'm going to write down some picks tonight that I know go look good. So let's start off with your lock of the week.
Okay, lock of the week. I am going to the NFL. I'm coming to the ATL, where the Atlanta Falcons are 1-2 at home, and I'm taking them big bad Cowboys. I like Cowboys +3 against the Falcons.
The Cowboys getting 3?
Yeah.
Home field advantage, man.
Something wrong with that.
Something stinks. Man. Go ahead, Big Bunny.
Hey, what's going on, Hancock? That's my lock of the week.
Okay. All right, go ahead and give me your upset.
Okay, D. Wheeler should like this. I'm going to college. I like Auburn War Eagles +3 at home to knock off Georgia Bulldogs.
Ooh, I like the pick, Slick, but it scared me. What time is that game? It is at
3:30.
Ooh, yeah, so you might have man.
If they play tonight, it'd be different.
If they play tonight, I think it'll be I would love that pick.
Okay, well, just remember, if I mess up, we can always try again next week.
All right, Slick, give me your blowout pick, or don't even worry about a pick. You can don't even worry about it. They ain't gonna play no way.
Okay, well, we're going to Starksville. I think Alabama gonna pound Mississippi State. I think I like Alabama -14 to cover against Mississippi State.
Bama,
I like that, Slick.
Two touchdowns.
Slick all over that SEC, boy.
Yeah, he is. All right, you give me your Dad say you going for another offer with that pick.
That's okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, tell him to just stay on Facebook Live.
Stay on Facebook Live. All right, Slick, give me your bonus pick for this week.
Hey, I got you a guaranteed win. I should have had this in my lock of the week, but hey, you take it for what it's worth. I think San Francisco 49ers get their first win this week against the New York Giants. The Giants are bad, so I do like the 49ers to beat the New York Giants.
Is it spread on or just you straight out on the money line, huh?
Yes, it's a pick'em. I think the Giants can win, but it's a pick'em, yeah. And so take the 49ers to get their first victory. And in college, I like Michigan State plus 16 at Ohio State. Ohio State ain't that good, man. I think Michigan State can play within them 16 points at Ohio State. And I like Michigan State plus the 16 on the road against Ohio State.
All right. So I got Dallas plus 3, Auburn plus 3 in the upset, Bama minus 14, 49ers in a pick'em game versus the bad New York Giants, and Michigan State plus 16 versus Ohio State.
Hey, so yeah, now I'm gonna squeeze one in for the basketball school. I like Army versus Duke this week. Take Army plus 3 at home to beat Duke.
Hey, Slick, this is G. I saw a line with the Giants 49ers. The Giants are minus 2.5.
So
we still take them?
I'm taking 49ers.
You're still taking 49ers?
Still
taking 49ers?
Plus 2.5 then.
Yeah, 49ers are plus 2.5 on that.
Yeah, so that's I appreciate the grit. So take the points and run. I think the 49ers get their first victory this weekend against the Giants.
And what was that Army versus Duke?
The Army plus three. Cadets are getting 3 points at home against Duke. Duke kind of favored out this year. I think they're looking forward to basketball. But I think Army get another victory like this week.
Yeah. I'm going to roll with you on that one, big money.
Yeah, I like that one too. Yeah. All right, so the last pick, Army plus 3 over Duke. So let's see. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 6. So, Slick, hopefully we can go 6-0 this week. I'm going to ride with you on some of them and things of that nature. Anything you want to say before you get off and continue to go ahead and enjoy your retirement?
I want to know, did Tennessee fire their head coach yet?
Not yet, Slick.
Nope.
They need to fire him, seriously. So y'all need to go ahead and get a rally going for me.
We're not in the business of getting coaches fired, but in this case... Butch Jones needs to be gone.
Exactly. And on another note, Slick, they're saying that ex-Tennessee basketball coach, if he don't cooperate, he's out of there.
Mm. Mr. Bruce Pearl.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's already gone. I think they're already packing the stuff. I think he's locked it out.
Yeah, I know that's right. All right, Slick, man, we appreciate it. And just to let you know, I beat D. Will in fantasy this week.
I saw that. Yeah, he deserved to get beat. Yeah.
Why I deserve to get beat? What I did to you?
Hey, I need to holler at you. Haven't came out of the penthouse in a while.
Yeah, you're right. So I deserve that.
All right, Slick, man. Appreciate it. Talk to you next week, bro.
Okay, brother. Appreciate it. Y'all take care.
All right, Slick. All right.
There it is, man. Rain Man.
What you bringing up fantasy? Man, we weren't even in the fantasy section. We weren't even in the fantasy world.
I saw your mouth.
I didn't even say anything. You brought it up. Remember, you brought it up. You brought it up.
Oh, we all okay, y'all. We all foreplayed each other in our fantasy this weekend. The two most brilliant people on the show lost, and the other two folks won.
What up, Mook?
And I had Kelvin Benjamin in my lineup accidentally.
I had Leonard Fournette, and he ended up with a game time decision not to play, so that hurt me. It don't matter. He put a beat down on me.
Man, my fantasy team is horrible.
Yeah, you're bad. You're like the worst. But
I didn't need no 8-man corner. I didn't.
I didn't co-sign it.
I didn't need. I wasn't asking for that. My credit was good enough. I didn't need that. I paid cash for that.
Yes, you did. Yes, you was paying cash every week.
Oh, my God. But listen, I think in fantasy, if your player goes out during the game, they should automatically implement somebody from your bench.
Now you just...
But what if you don't have anybody? Everybody's on a bye.
Then nobody go in.
It's leagues like that that got crazy scoring. I like our standard league. You got to do it on the first go-round. Do it on the first go-round. And I lost.
Look, it don't matter who I play.
Yeah, it don't matter. They own you.
Yeah, my
what you,
team.
1-7?
I got 2 wins.
You got 2?
I had a 2-game win streak going.
Oh, you did. Yeah. I was, man, Horace just put it on me this week.
Yeah, and I did not
change. He put up like 120.
Yeah, 119. But Dez asked, what's the over under Bush Jones getting fired?
Ooh. End of season, man. They're going to let him ride out.
They're going to let him ride out.
End of the season, Dez. So
I think they're going to let him ride it out.
Because they got to at this point.
Yeah. The New York Giants coach, if they lose to the 49ers, I think he gets fired before Mr. Bush
McAdoo,
Jones.
Yeah. Mr. McAdoo needs to be gone.
Yeah, he does.
Especially for that haircut.
Yeah,
but anyway.
For real.
Oh, come on.
All right, so I'm going back to
answer. Who you got, Big Mike?
I got Rodney asking questions. He's saying, when does the coach take over? As far as Dan Quinn, he was talking about the DW, you know, situation. If the play calling is bad on this end and that end, when does the coach take over?
He can't take over. He's a defensive coach.
Exactly. Yeah. He's not an offensive coach, so I don't think he'll ever take over.
He'll never take over the offense, right.
Now, like last year, I think he took over the defense when they were struggling so bad. Mm-hmm. And that's more of his lane. So I don't know if who's the quarterback coach at this point with the Falcons. Is he an option?
Well, here's my thing. It's really not an option. You really don't want to make that move in the middle of the season because
he can't get no worse, D.
But here's the thing. I said it early in the season. They are struggling because you brought an offensive coordinator in to learn a system. It's easier for players to learn a system than it is for an offensive coordinator because he has his routine. He has his philosophies. He knows what he wants to do. Now, him trying to – that's like I say, the crazy cliche, trying to stick a square peg in a round hole. You can't do it. He needs to be able to do what makes him comfortable instead of what makes everybody else comfortable because obviously he can't do that.
Yeah, I just don't think, to me, when you're an offensive play caller, you tell a story with your offense, yeah. Which is what I'm saying. Like, it looks like this is what's happening. You kind of build to this way. Then you take it off this way. Like, you might run sweeps this way. Then you work off of that play to set up something else. And I don't see any kind of story being told on offense.
Well, I tell you what story is being told because it looks drunk because that's what the play calling looks like. Not utilizing your players in the strength in specific ways that they need.
Well, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Matt Ryan had an overthrow to Julio that should have been six.
But this has been the whole season.
But I understand. But and Julio dropped another one. Now, you can go back to the two games they lost against Buffalo and Miami at home. It is Matt Ryan throwing crucial interceptions. I can't put it all on Steve Sarkisian.
It's play calling.
And it's listen, the
it's
players
players
still have to execute.
I don't care what the play comes in,
they have to execute, and they're not executing.
The Falcons are third in drops in the league.
Come on,
that ain't Matt Ryan,
and that's not Steve Sarkisian.
Oh, wait, and I agree. I agree with you. Like I said, everybody got a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
On every single play.
I think Steve Sarkisian is the scapegoat for these four losses.
Yeah, I mean, it's like y'all talking about like. I understand what you're saying, the drops and whatever, but it's just like I can eat a food to get full, but if it ain't what I want, I'm not satisfied. So the offense is not gelling. It's not fluid. They're not happy in the offense. And that's the biggest thing. Nothing is easy.
You know what I'm saying?
It's just like in contest of basketball. If you go down every time and you got to work deep to get a two, and nothing is easy. No fast break buckets. Nothing comes easy. It's a hard basketball game, for an analogy like that. Mm-hmm. And for this football with the Falcons, everything is hard. You know, there are no easy drives, no three-play drives.
It's an overthrow. It's a drop pass.
I would
put more blame on Quinn than I will Ryan because Quinn the one who hired him.
I'm going to tell you like this. Just 2 years ago, I heard the same rumblings about Kyle Shanahan, how he was terrible in the offense. It was never going to work. Matt Ryan looks horrible in these rollouts. He's not doing what's conducive to the personnel that he has. And then all of a sudden last year, he had this historic season. I believe that we're giving – this is Steve Sarkisian's first year as the offensive coordinator. This is his first year calling plays in the NFL. And I just believe he's getting too much of the blame for the players who are actually on the field playing, not executing.
Whose system was Shanahan running?
He was running his.
Whose system did start running?
Shanahan's. That's the problem.
There it is. All right, well, let's move on to one of our favorite segments.
You didn't do the picks?
Oh, yeah, we got to do our picks. Yeah,
yeah, we got to run through them.
Well, let's go ahead and run through them real quick. And this week, I'm going with the Arizona Wildcats minus 22 versus Oregon State.
Yeah, Khalil and Tate. They're at home. Khalil Tate a beast.
Yeah, he just jumped into the top four or five.
Dude is anyway. I'm going to have to go a different way on Slick. I'm going Riverside on him. I'm going to take UGA, and I saw it online at -2.5. Is that about right, G? That's what I caught it at on with D. Will. So I see Georgia -2.5 at Auburn.
All right. So mine is from the NFL, because of course it is. I'm going to take the New York Jets -2.5 against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay without Jameis Winston, without Mike Evans. I don't see any Fitz magic happening this week.
Who you took?
The Jets.
Jets. Yeah.
-2.5 against Tampa Bay.
All right, I'm 3-1 in the last 4 weeks, so if you got some fruit cups, you better roll with me. But this week, and I'm not very confident about this pick, and you never start off a pick by saying that. But I just don't see anything that I truly like this week in college football. But what I do like, because I think they need a statement win, and I think they need something to go towards the committee to get them into that top four. So I'm taking Wisconsin +12 over Iowa. Iowa coming off a big win over Ohio State. They got a good clout there in the top 25, ranked at number 20. I believe Wisconsin makes a statement and beats down
what's
Iowa.
What's their spread?
-12, gotta be.
Wisconsin -12.
I'm going to say, I'm in the Swiss, man.
You know, one thing I saw with that game, D. Will, not, you know, that's your pick and that's fine. They lost the top wide receiver in Cephas this week.
They did.
And they do have a running attack, but I know Iowa's going to do. They're going to try to shut that run down and make them beat them over the top. So it should be a good football game.
Iowa had impressed me until this past Saturday.
On the road, I don't know if they can travel the way they did.
Exactly. After Iowa, that big win.
At Iowa, it would be.
especially at Iowa at night, you don't want to be there. But on the road against Wisconsin, who needs a statement game.
Yeah.
Exactly. IG, let's go ahead and get into that sports roundtable. Roundtable. Discussion.
The round table discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Round table discussion sponsored by Jay's Used Cars. If you're looking for a new used or pre-owned car, go to our friends at Jay's Used Cars at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway, Tucker, Georgia. Not Lawrenceville, Georgia, but Tucker. Go to jaysusedcars.com for the inventory. All right, fellas, let's go ahead and talk about this college football real quick. The playoffs came out. The rankings came out Tuesday. The top four is set. I think Clemson is in the top four for the college football committee.
Yeah, they're four.
But yeah. my question, and this is one question, and we're going to run through this real quick. Does the Big Ten have a chance to get in the top four? And if they do, do you believe and trust Wisconsin?
Does the Big Ten have a chance to get in is what you asked, right? Yeah, I think they have a chance to get in. I don't trust Wisconsin. I think it has to be a lot of chaos at the top for them to get in.
Who would get in if so? Because Michigan State, I think, is the highest ranked.
That's the team I'm telling you.
Besides Wisconsin.
If anybody gets in from that conference.
A two-loss team will get in.
Right. And it will be only
a lot of chaos,
they're trying to do it. Yeah. Right. But I think Michigan State. But they have to win this week at Ohio State, which is going to be a tough one. But I just don't trust Wisconsin. And like I said, they lost the top wide receiver this past week. He's out for the year. And if I'm not mistaken, another player went down also, which I think is going to be benefit Iowa this week. So that's why I'm a little skeptical on that game. I think Iowa can be one-dimensional. I'm not impressed with the quarterback situation at all. And I think what's going to happen is if they go undefeated and get to the championship game, even if they win out, it might be tough if Notre Dame, Miami, well, that game will take one of them out of it.
Right.
But the winner of that game will still be alive for a berth. And if it's Notre Dame,
it's a wrap.
It might be trouble for two conferences, to be honest with you.
I agree.
I'm real quick on that. It's going to come down to one thing. If Oklahoma, if it comes down between a one-loss Oklahoma and Wisconsin, Oklahoma's getting in. Because you got to understand, that number four spot, that's who's vying for that number four spot. It's Oklahoma and Wisconsin.
That's right? A good point.
Because Alabama, Georgia, because like we all say, if Alabama and Georgia went out and meet it in Atlanta for the SEC championship game, and it's a close game, both of those teams are in over a undefeated Wisconsin. All right? Because they went the entire – you're not going to punish them for losing – a bonus game. A bonus game, not a regular season game, but a bonus game by a close margin on a neutral field.
What if TCU beats Oklahoma?
Here's my thing. I wasn't done. It's going to be two SEC teams. If Notre Dame wins out, they're in at three. All right? Number four, if they're not getting in before Oklahoma. If anybody comes out of the Big 12, I believe it's going to be Oklahoma. If anybody comes out of Big 10, it's going to be Wisconsin.
So TCU doesn't get the benefit of that if they beat Oklahoma?
If they beat Oklahoma, that's a different story.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
But if they went out, if Oklahoma wins out, they're in.
So they'd be the same scenario up against Wisconsin. Do you take TCU over Wisconsin?
They would have two losses.
They would have two losses.
They only lost to Iowa State.
Oh, okay.
TCU has one loss.
Yeah, they only lost to Iowa State.
This is 2 weeks ago.
See what I'm saying? It's so crazy. That's what I'm saying. So the same argument that you would have for Oklahoma, who only had – but they did have a big win at Oklahoma.
They did.
I mean, at Ohio State. But in turn –
And Oklahoma State.
Yeah, but in turn, TCU would have something to say, too, because they beat Oklahoma. They would have beaten Oklahoma.
That's their head-to-head matchup.
Right.
But they would have –
but also, I'm going to tell you –
Oklahoma had two losses.
TCU has this.
But right now, at the time they beat them, only have one. Yeah.
But here's the thing. TCU has the better fact of, can Iowa State continue to ascend after them losing last week? All right? Because that makes their loss look even worse.
But don't it make Oklahoma's loss look worse? They beat them, too.
Oklahoma has the better wins, though. They won at Ohio State, and they won at Oklahoma State.
I hear you.
That's two big wins that TCU doesn't have.
I hear you. But I'm saying, that's what's so bad about it. It's just subjective, because the same argument you make, just like today, I heard an argument when they were talking about the SEC, and they tried to downplay Auburn by saying, well, when one host said they beat LSU, the other guy came on and said, a LSU team that lost to Troy? But then you turn around and try to who was that they were talking about? Somebody about Northwestern. And Northwestern lost to Duke. Mm-hmm. And you try to use that as a stepping stone for one of the other teams to say, well, they played Northwestern. So, I mean, whatever argument you make on this end, you leave yourself vulnerable on the other end.
Yeah. And that's the thing about this. This is that committee, and I was listening to Hocut, and they were talking about the difference between Georgia and Alabama.
Right.
And they were saying that the Notre Dame win is the only difference between Georgia and Alabama. That's the reason Georgia's at number one, mm-hmm. is that Notre Dame win on the road.
Right.
When they beat Notre Dame was an unranked team.
Thank you.
They were not to be a contender for the college football playoff. Now, all of a sudden, since they're contender, that win is so much better. Now, Alabama beat a Florida State team where the game was dubbed the game of the century. They was the number one and number two team in the nation playing in the first game. And then Florida State ends up losing their quarterback. They fall off the face of the earth. And now, all of a sudden, that's not a good win for Alabama. Now, but Mississippi State, who has jumped up to number 16 in the polls, beat LSU. That's a good win for them, but LSU is not a good win for somebody else.
You proving my point. This is what I'm saying. It's all subjective. It's all subjective. You can talk about and tear down someone's argument by building this up, and then yours is built on the foundation of the same stuff you just said on the other end.
And I put it on Twitter. Don't make sense. And I put it on Twitter a couple times on my Twitter page. Go follow me at @coach_SRT. But it is that if you got teams, four teams, all right, just let's say Alabama plays Mississippi State, correct? They put Mississippi State at 16 just to build the
resume.
Not even that, but to build the suspense of the game for this weekend just by because it builds the resume also. Exactly, and it puts Auburn. But if that builds the resume, what if Mississippi State goes out and loses the next week? Now that's going to drop them down. So now that's not a good win. But when you put them there, they were number 16. Right.
That's why I say it's subjective.
And here's the other thing I got a problem with the committee on. They say that preseason polls, they don't use any polls when they're selecting these teams. And we've mentioned this before on the show. But your argument is, oh, they beat three top 15 teams. Well, you're telling me that the polls don't matter.
Don't matter so until all of a sudden, you talk about them.
So all of a sudden, how is that a good win on three top 15 teams?
I agree with
you. If you're not even using the polls. So what you know D-Will's argument, the criteria I have an issue with.
Yeah.
Because it's basically, you could put these, you could take the SRT Power 10 and you could put it up against the college football playoff. What's the difference?
None.
Oh, I agree. Is Notre Dame a shoe-in?
Darling.
I don't think they're a shoe-in because if they win out and Georgia wins out and Georgia loses Alabama and it comes down to, between those two,
somebody got to jump in to go to three, though.
Well, you got Clemson is going to be in there. If they win ACC, they're going to put Clemson in. They're defending national champions.
Will they be three, though? Go ahead, G.
Well, to say that would, I think that would put, if Notre Dame wins out, they're going to stay at three. And Clemson would have to win out to get the fourth spot. I think the first three, it's going to stay like that for a while. And the fourth spot, two conferences are going to be left out.
So you're
going
to leave out Oklahoma with one loss if they went out and
win. But do you put it in Clemson? But do you put in Oklahoma and leave the ACC out? Or do you put in Wisconsin and leave the other?
Hey, what if we have just ultimate total chaos, right? I'm just going to give you ultimate total chaos. And they hanging on the wall right there. Because that team that's hanging on the wall, if y'all don't know, it's an Auburn Tigers helmet. They are the most important component to the entire college football playoff.
They because are driving a Lamborghini at this point.
They are, because they have to. They don't you know the cliche? They are on their own destiny.
Yep.
They own their own destiny because they got to play Georgia this week. If they win that game, now they jump up. All right. Then they still got to play Alabama. If they mess around and win that game, that means they win the SEC West and they go to the SEC Championship and play Georgia again.
But that gives the committee an out because they're going to say, I'm telling you, this week they're saying it's strong. But what they're going to say, the conference was down. They caught Alabama when Alabama was hurt.
But I wasn't even done. That would be Alabama's only loss. So you're talking about a one-loss Alabama team, all right, against a one-loss Georgia team and a two-loss Auburn team.
Right.
Which two do you take?
So are you going to take a two-loss Auburn team who won the conference?
It'll beat them both head-to-head.
In both head-to-head.
But you got an undefeated Wisconsin just beat Ohio State in the conference championship.
And Notre Dame just ran the table.
So, but what happens if?
I hope it happens.
So you're gonna leave. Alabama out with one loss, getting
one other thing.
And Auburn would be the number one team in the nation at that point.
But Auburn would have to play Georgia again in the SEC Championship.
That's what I said. They would have to rebeat and Georgia would only have one loss
twice though.
Yep.
But what?
That would take Georgia out.
They'd have to beat Georgia twice.
Well, that would take Georgia out. My point is Alabama. Then would you send? You got an Alabama team that's sitting there with one loss to Auburn, who at that point will be the number one team in the nation. So where would you put Alabama? You can't drop them past four.
I don't think they'll be number one. I think Notre Dame or
they can't wait to drop Alabama. You can hear the red.
I'm just telling
you now. Well, if Alabama loses,
they're out.
They out. I'm telling you that now because they already set in the criteria by saying they haven't played anybody.
Yep.
So they're waiting.
I think they'll also be fatigued, voter fatigue.
That's what it is.
So
SEC and voter fatigue is going to knock them out.
But that's not going to happen. That's just total chaos.
Yeah. So, Dez,
I'm rooting for chaos.
What happens if Georgia beats Auburn the second time in the championship?
Exactly. Woo. Then you got
Auburn's out. That's a three-loss team.
Is Georgia back in?
They got to be. You just won the SEC. Losses? They only have one loss
if
at that point.
If they lost to Alabama and lost. Well, they wouldn't play Alabama. They'd have one loss.
They got to be in with one loss. But would they get in over an undefeated Wisconsin team and a one-loss TCU team?
And a one-loss Notre Dame
team.
I believe Notre Dame's in.
And a one-loss Clemson.
Clemson beat Auburn, Oklahoma.
Or an undefeated Miami.
It's so many scenarios, man.
Yeah, because
Miami could beat Notre Dame.
And we're just leaving them out, and I'm pretty sure John Michaels, He listened to the show mad at us because we ain't said Miami one time.
Yeah, and Miami has a shot. I mean, this week.
Slow down, John Bakker. We got you.
We got you.
This says a lot this week with Miami and Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, that's a playoff game also.
Yeah, it is.
And if,
it's a play-out game. Let's call it
play
that.
Play-out game, exactly. If Notre Dame can move on or Miami can move on.
Because Notre Dame's out with two losses, and Miami is definitely out with one.
Well, let's talk about Miami. Mark Richt leaves Georgia, goes to Miami. Miami, to me, skated through a couple of games. Georgia Tech especially. Mm-hmm. That game really stands out to me. So I was like on them like I'm on Wisconsin. Really, you really hadn't really showed me anything, but you really got to show me something for me to believe. They pretty much dominated Virginia Tech weekend. I think preseason, when we had our preseason talk about college football, I think I mentioned the running back and Walton and also the wide receiver that they would have,
right,
that would be their playmakers. And they've been making plays. If they went out, go to the ACC, well, they going to the ACC championship, I'm pretty sure.
They got to win this week.
And they play, okay.
Who?
Whose side they
Miami.
On?
Miami.
Well, Notre Dame's not in the conference.
Yeah, I'm just saying they need to win.
Yeah, they need to win, but
yeah, they can still win the ACC.
Who would they play in? They would play Clemson.
Yeah, that's who they win.
So if they win out, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to put them in the four, right?
That's what I'm saying. I think you do.
No.
If Clemson is in the four when they get there, I think you got to put them in if Miami is undefeated.
Why wouldn't they win the ACC championship go in?
Well, that's my point. If they're going by the same criteria of Wisconsin, so if Wisconsin wins out and beats Ohio State, so you're going to leave an undefeated undefeated Wisconsin team in, put an undefeated Miami team in, and then put a one loss maybe Miami and an undefeated.
No, Miami would get in. Yeah, Miami would be undefeated.
Oh, they would.
Yeah.
So you got
if Miami goes undefeated, they're going to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, they are.
Because they would beat Clemson in the championship game.
They would have
the Notre Dame win.
And the Notre Dame win. Yeah, they're in if they win out. And to get back,
so that'll put Notre Dame out, right?
Yeah. If Notre Dame loses this week,
it's the cancellation game.
Yeah. And the thing about Miami, I agree with you. I was not giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Still not
getting the hit. This past week gave me more cause to pause. When I looked at them play, they controlled the game from start to finish. And we looked at Virginia Tech as being...
I put them in my 10 last week.
Yeah, and I didn't look at Virginia Tech as just a power, but I didn't look for them to be dominated the way they were. And Miami dominated the game. Even with the turnovers we talked about, they controlled the game from start to finish. And I think they played to the level of competition. We saw Florida State do this all the way to a national championship against... Auburn that year they won it.
Right.
And certain teams, man, you look at them and they start to believe they can win close games. And they've won them. You know, it's better to be on the winning side than the losing side. And I think they kind of play to the level of their competition a lot of times. We'll know more this week. And I think one thing I like that they're playing against a Notre Dame team that's kind of one-dimensional. And we do know that Miami has a good front seven. So they'll be stacking the box. Now, whether they get beat deep on the back end or not, we'll see. But I know they have enough athletes at least to run with Notre Dame. But I think the front seven is good enough to help control the line of scrimmage. The X factor is that when you have an athletic running quarterback, it gives an extra blocker. So now that running back becomes basically a tailback with an extra blocker to get him into the secondary. And that kid can take it the distance. He can go. If he gets into the secondary, he can go.
It's Wimbush.
Wimbush can get there. So I do like the matchup. I think, like I said, I'm more impressed with Miami than I was early in the year. And I don't think we're thinking about it. If we looked at this game at the beginning of the year, we would still, if we didn't know anything about the records, I think we'd all be saying, getting them at home, they could win the game. Because right. We wouldn't know the resume of Notre Dame. Coming into this year, Notre Dame wasn't looked at as a favorite.
They came into the unranked.
That's what I'm saying. But we weren't even respecting them. When they lost to George and the way the coaching was going, we thought he might get fired.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the thing.
So, these things, they can change, man.
Notre Dame rushed for only 50 yards against George. 50. Against Georgia.
Right.
And they lost by one.
Right.
Ever since that Georgia game, They've been averaging 330 yards on the ground with 700 yards rushing last week. Mm-hmm. Well, total yards, I think.
Total yards.
Crazy.
All right, let's talk about that. Since the Georgia game, they played Boston College, Michigan State, Miami, Ohio, North Carolina, USC, North Carolina State, Wake Forest. They ain't played nobody. That's the whole argument with Alabama. That's the argument with everybody. If you go down, UNC is horrible.
You prove it by point. What I'm saying about it is that we weren't looking at this team as a dominant team.
Now, USC, who has fell off, they're giving them so much credit for beating down USC. And Sam Darnold is worse than Malik Rozier when it comes to throwing interceptions. And that's the problem I got with Miami. I ain't get a chance to speak on it. Malik Rozier is my problem with Miami. All right? Three interceptions against Virginia Tech. You cannot, you're not throwing three interceptions against Notre Dame and getting the win. All right? I don't care where you play yet.
Well, let me ask you this, D, and I think this is your point. If Notre Dame was unranked and you just read off their schedule since Georgia, how in the hell do they get to number three?
Because their name is Notre Dame.
Exactly. And that's my point. I keep saying
that's your point.
He went from they went from unranked to number three in a matter of and they lost to Georgia.
And you called out the schedule. See, and that's my point. That's what I said. If you look, there's a lot of value in that line. A lot of value in Miami's line. Because I wish we could go to the book and get a preseason prediction of what that spread would have been.
Yeah,
I bet you it's moved a touchdown at least.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I bet it has.
All right. Three power conferences could be left out. There's a possibility that all this could happen. Because you can get a Notre Dame in there that's independent. Two SECs. And one more, either ACC or Pac-12.
Pac-12 is already out. Unless Washington has one loss.
Exactly, they're trying to get Washington.
They have a shot, but it's a long shot.
Yeah,
they're trying to get them back in.
But they're gonna need total chaos to put Washington in over anybody.
Well, a lot could happen this week, though.
This is a big week right now for college football.
So let's say Georgia, Alabama. Notre Dame. They say the three stay the same. And then you got a Wisconsin undefeated in the Big Ten. Then you got a one. Then you got Oklahoma, one loss in the Big 12. Washington, one loss in the Pac-12. And a Clemson or Miami coming from the ACC. One of those have to get the last spot. That's going to be tough.
And I know I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but
and then we're forgetting about Auburn. But
Auburn is. I'm gonna tell you what Auburn issue is. They already got two losses.
Yeah,
I understand. One of them was a close game to Clemson on
the
road.
That's a good loss.
If there is a such thing,
right? But they gonna say it's a good loss.
We got LSU. They lost to, and now we're saying that was it's a bad loss for Auburn because. But it's a good win for Alabama. All right? Mississippi State beat LSU down. That's the best win on their schedule.
Go ahead, dude.
I think Auburn is in the same situation that Penn State was in last year, to where they had beaten Michigan and Ohio State and won the Big Ten by beating Michigan State.
They lost last year, though.
Penn State lost to Michigan State?
Yeah, they got bombed by Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah, they got beat down by Michigan last year.
But still, they still won the conference and had beaten Ohio State, who was put in, and Penn State was left out, even though Ohio State didn't even win their division.
Right.
So Auburn may be in that same situation, to where even if they beat Alabama and Georgia twice,
they could still
be left out.
I believe that's utterly impossible.
I think if they beat 1-2, I don't know, G. I don't think they're going to leave them out if they beat 1-2 in the nation at the time.
If Auburn wins the SEC, they're in. I'm going to tell you, the SEC champion is in the four, because Auburn would have beat they have, if you don't know this, Auburn has the number one SOS this year. That's strength of schedule. They have the number one strength of schedule. So if they went out and they lose in a close game on the road to Clemson, They caught LSU at a bad time. LSU is not a horrible football team, but they caught LSU, and LSU beat them. But if they went out, that would mean they would have beat Mississippi State. They would have beat Alabama, Georgia, and won the SEC, and beat Georgia again for the SEC. There's no way possible you can leave them out.
Hey, somebody, with
two loss, and that would be the first two-loss team to ever get.
Somebody on Facebook just said, "Why? I in here? You know all this, and you an Alabama fan?"
Because I'm an analyst, bro. I do this. I do this.
Go ahead, Hay. I know you got something to say about it.
I don't know, man. It gets so confusing about who should be who, and who gets weight or gets credit for this win versus that one. I do know if Notre Dame continues to win out, two conferences could be left out. That's the ain't no doubt. Thing. And I think those two are the Big 12 and the Pac-12.
I believe Notre Dame should have to play in a conference. I'm just going to keep it real. I believe they should have to get – because it's not fair because we hype up the Notre Dame – and I know we need to change subjects before we get out of here. I know we need to – we hype up this USC matchup. USC is not good. Let's just keep it real. They're in the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is not even getting the team in this year. They're already eliminated unless it's total chaos. So they're getting credit for wins against teams that other teams wouldn't get credit for if they played in a conference. Because – answer me this. Where would Notre Dame sit if they had to play a SEC West schedule? You see, I know that's hypothetical, but if they had to play an SEC West schedule, that means they had to play Alabama, LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Arkansas.
But even they claim none of those teams are good but except Alabama, so it wouldn't matter.
See, but here's my thing. They're not good, but how good is Notre Dame?
We don't know.
That's
the point I'm saying about this weekend.
But they got
them
at three.
Yeah, that's the point I'm making about this weekend.
Do you trust Miami?
I can't say I don't trust them because I like them better after watching them this past week. And I think they're going to give Notre Dame all they want this week, especially being at home.
All right, real quick, which game are you going to look forward to the most this weekend? Out of the top teams he's playing?
I think I'm looking at two games. I'm looking at the Georgia-Auburn game, and I'm looking at the Miami and
I believe that's probably unanimous in the whole room.
Those are two I got to see.
Because those two games, they mean so much towards the college football playoff. Like, they're going to change the whole dynamic of the college football playoff.
G?
I'm looking at those games and also TCU-Oklahoma. That's this weekend, right?
Yeah.
The winner is going to win the Big 12.
Yeah.
If Oklahoma wins, they control their own destiny as far as being in the playoff. If TCU wins, the Big 12 is getting shut out because they're not allowed. They're still not allowed to. No one outside of Oklahoma is allowed to get into the playoff. So
I agree with that.
If TCU wins, they're going to the Rose Bowl or whatever.
They're not getting in. They're not getting in. I agree. And I agree with Han. It's those two games. And, of course, I'm a homer. I'm just anxious to see what that Alabama defense is going to look like with all the injuries.
Yeah,
against Mississippi State on the road.
I know that's right. All right, so we're going to take a quick one-minute break. When we get back, we're going to wrap things up as we talk about some other news. You listen to Sports Roundtable, SRT Crew, srtradio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Sports Roundtable.
Would you rather have a toothache or a migraine?
Ooh.
Which could you deal with the best?
Never had a migraine from what I hear. I'm taking the toothache, too. But you can go get that pulled.
Straight like that. Straight like that.
You can't pull nothing out of the migraine.
You can't pull your mind.
Yeah. Have you seen Get Out?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to the sunken place.
On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
Sports Roundtable back at you. About to turn the page and get up out of here in a second here. Other news, Georgia Tech scandal with Mr. Ron Bell and Josh Pastner is something that's going to go down with that. Georgia Tech suspend two players for illegal benefits. Ron Bell comes out and said he was the beneficiary. He the one gave them that. And rumor has it that Bell is mad because Pastner didn't.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but he was on the Gary Parrish show today, and he said that it wasn't that. It was just that he felt like Pastner was not, didn't value him anymore. So basically, he has been with Pastner since Memphis, and he followed him to Georgia Tech, and it's been crazy. So Deshaun Tate has wrote an article about it. I will actually get it from him. Maybe today and posting on the website. Also, other news, the Hawks and Jahlil Okafor could be possible linked together. Here, Phoenix Suns and Boston is, and the Bulls are also interested in Mr. Jahlil Okafor. Not sure how he fits into the Hawks' playing hand. You can.
I don't know if Okafor fits because he doesn't do what centers do now, which is create space. You know, Dwight Howard is that last dinosaur where, you know, he doesn't step out and shoot the ball from range. So, you know, unless...
He has a good face-up game, though, 15, 17 feet. Now, he's not a three-point shooter, but 15, 17 feet, he's a very good face-up player.
How many winning programs have a face-up center right now?
I believe all of them are. MB's a face-up. He's not a three-point shooter.
Yes, he steps out to shoot it,
but that's not his strength. Same thing as Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is a face-up.
He shoots from range.
But I'm not saying they don't shoot from range. They're not three-point shooters. That's not where they make their money. Anthony Davis make his money in 17 feet. You saw that last night when he gave
it 40. But is Okafor even when I see him, I don't see the agility to move and create space like those guys do. That's all I'm saying. I agree with you. They don't just all the time run to the three-point line. But they're active. And I don't know, maybe Okafor will be, but I don't see it. I see him as more of a classic back to the basket, paint, one foot in the paint type center.
I believe he's a, I'm going to tell you what I look at him as. I look at him as a poor man's Carl Anthony Towns. Carl can step
that's
out.
That's real poor.
Nah, you got to understand his first year, he averaged 18-7.
I don't see him stepping out like Towns.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think he stretches to the three-point line, but I believe, like I said, he's a poor man's Towns. He can get you buckets.
I liked him coming out of college, and I think I was wrong to me. I just don't see it, man.
I believe the 76ers gave up on him. It was a bad situation.
Maybe. It could be that. We'll see.
Speaking of basketball, I was asked this question earlier today. I said I will pose it to the crew. So y'all tell me real quick, who do y'all take? Porzingis, Greek Freak.
I'm still on Freak right now, but Porzingis, if somebody picked the Freak in front of me, I wouldn't be mad.
Hey, I'm going to tell you like this.
Now, Porzingis is the number one guy right now.
He is what they call him, a unicorn.
He's the unicorn,
hey,
no doubt.
I'm going with Lord Porzingis. 7'3", that can do it all. He shut the game down last night. With 3-point in Dwight Howard face, one dribble to the basket, finger roll to end the game. He is something amazing.
He has 8 30-point games this year and only had 5 last year.
Hey, man, 7'3", doing what he does.
Come on. It's his team now.
He's a beast.
Come on, G, who you taking?
I'm still taking the Greek Freak.
I mean,
we can go from end to end in two dribbles.
It ain't like he just played one thing.
And he can't be stopped around the basket.
He rebounded. He do a lot.
But you sitting here telling me you don't want a back-to-the-basket big man, and you want to – thank you. This man can't shoot.
He doesn't have to shoot.
Yes, look, he does. He's going to have to shoot in the NBA.
Not now. He doesn't shoot now.
He ain't winning now either. G, what are we talking about? We talking about being good, or we talking about winning?
Hold on. Wait, but dude, they ain't really winning either.
Knicks, though?
But the Knicks are 6-4, better than what they were last year.
That's true.
So I'm saying if I'm starting
I'm
my franchise.
I'm still starting with the Freak right now.
I'm going with
you setting up a lot of Knicks fans to be disappointed.
Porzingis a beast.
Leo, see what you done.
I'm still going with the Freak right now.
See what you done, Leo.
He can't shoot.
My God.
He's 16 for 21. His percentage got to be. He's shooting something. He scored 40.
Hey, we going to.
He averaging 37.
He ain't no LeBron.
He averaging 37. I don't want to hear about it. He can't shoot. He averaging 37.
Hey, Porzingis averaging what, 32?
37. I think I'll greater than, less than.
I'll take Porzingis.
37 is greater than 32.
Hey, man.
I need somebody who can shoot.
Shout out to all.
16 for 21.
Shout out to the Facebook Live onlookers. Shout out to the crew. Thanks for coming in and doing your thing. Shout out to all the people who listen and continue to support the SRT crew, man. We here always on Wednesday, 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And shout out to WWE 1100 AM as we continue to do our thing. Follow us on social media at SRT Radio and our website, srtradio.com. Please go there and do it. And any shouts out real quick?
Yeah, shout out on Cookie back in Detroit. I heard you listening tonight. Shout out to the Brown family. Sandra Brown, we're going to come back to your homecoming this weekend. Much love to the family. See y'all this weekend.
Shout out, wifey. Shout out to the crew, man. You know, follow me on social media at Coach_SRT on Twitter.
Shout out, mom and dad. See y'all later.
All right. You know how we do it, knuckleheads. We out of here. See y'all next week. And if you don't like the show, learn to love it because it's the best thing going today. All right, hand. Let's roll.
Boogie. I'm headed home, baby.
They call me Coach because I teach you how to ball.
This is your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Mom. R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
the Titanic got to go.
Oh. And we out. Peace.
Everyone has the same dilemma. There's a big game this weekend. You want to watch it with some friends, but you also want some of the best Cajun seafood in Atlanta. So what do? Why don't you come down to Sports Roundtable Saturdays at the Big Easy Grill? That's 1193 Collier Road in Atlanta. Our next event is on November 18th from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. Why don't you come by and meet the crew of the hottest sports talk radio show in Atlanta? We'll be talking sports, of course, and we'll have contests where you can win prizes. That's Sports Roundtable Saturdays on November 18th at the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road in Atlanta. Bring your sports knowledge and your appetite, and we'll see you there.